Thank the Lord once again for his faithfulness unto all of us.
Thank the Lord.
Appreciate the opportunity to gather with the saints on Easter Sunday.
Yeah.
I don't know if you thought about it like this, but this is anniversary 2018 for Christians.
Yes.
Yeah.
For those that have counted on the promises, well, the promises that God made, that he was going to bring a special plan to this world. That he was going to make a way for mankind. And when you consider the conditions of the world before Christ came, there was very little hope.
Yes. Amen.
There was a lot of political struggles, if you will.
Yeah.
Everyone clamoring for position and power.
Yeah.
And then Jesus came along. I would like to read our foundation text, Galatians, the second chapter, the 20th verse. Someone has that, go ahead and read.
I am crucified with Christ.
Yes.
Nevertheless I live.
Yes.
Yet not I. But Christ liveth in me.
And the life which I now live in the flesh.
I live by the faith of the Son of God.
Who loved me.
And gave himself
for me. Now, I want you to think about that scripture. But before we get into the depths of that scripture, we want to do a little reminiscing. You and I have the privilege of having the Word of God in its complete and entirety.
Yes.
And so it is very often easy for us to understand the circumstances of the creation of the plan of salvation and how God put it all together and worked everything out. But for this Sunday, I ask that you put yourself in the shoes of those people that lived when Jesus walked the earth. You don't have the complete story.
That's right.
You don't have every single book that was written. You have the prophecy of Isaiah.
Right, right.
And you have no idea what's going to happen. Put yourself in those shoes this morning. In particular, there are some particular points that the Lord impressed upon our heart for us to consider this morning as in regards to the Easter story. And I first would like to start in Matthew, the 26th chapter. And I want us to consider some of the events that occurred. In particular, for the sake of time, we won't read the complete chapter. But I want to talk about this feast, the Passover. Mm-hmm. Jesus told his disciples, go to a particular place, there's a man there that has a room for us. And let him know we need the room for the Passover. Now, at this point in time, the disciples have a pretty good understanding of what Jesus is all about. They see him as the preeminent power in spite of those that are ruling at that time. And here we're going to get together and we're going to break bread. Now this feast, the Passover feast, was the feast of deliverance. It was a commemoration of when God delivered the children of Israel out of Egypt. And what it signifies, in that time was their freedom. It signified the fact that they were alive after God came through with the death angel.
Thank the Lord.
And took all the firstborn.
Yes. Yes. Oh my.
And it was the meal that was prepared for their journey forward out of Egypt.
Yes.
What does it mean to you and I? It means that we are no longer under the bondage of sin. Satan has no control.
Thank the Lord.
And we can also defeat self.
Yes.
It means that the blood was applied to atone for the judgment that God had reserved for the people of this world.
Yes.
It also means that it was the meal for us to be fulfilled each and every day in Christ.
Yeah. Praise the Lord.
And so he shared this meal with his disciples.
Yeah.
If you were sitting in that room, enjoying this meal, not knowing what's coming next.
Oh my.
Man, all of us are here.
Yes.
We're having a meal with Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
And then Jesus drops the bomb. Verily I say unto you that one of you is going to betray me. What would be going through your mind at that point in time? Is it me, Lord? Am I the one that has got something down in there that I would betray my Savior? And it brought a soberness over them. I imagine they was looking at one another.
Right.
You know how people do sometimes.
Oh, yeah.
You're not completely familiar with everyone around you. You're kind of looking at them.
Right.
I wonder what they got going on.
Yeah.
And Jesus told them, somebody's going to betray me.
Mm-hmm.
And it was revealed who it was. And that person excused themselves and went on to carry out their task. Can you imagine the relief that the rest of them felt as they sat there? It wasn't me.
Right.
If you're sitting there in that meal, oh, it wasn't me. I didn't betray the Lord. The enemy would like every Christian to betray the Lord.
Yes, true.
When the times get difficult,
right,
the times get rough, they get uncertain,
right,
will you betray the Lord?
Help us, Lord.
Oh, Lord.
No, Lord, help us.
And then, after they had this meal, they sung a hymn and went out to the Mount of Olives.
Yes.
I imagine there was some mixed emotions there. Reminiscing and reflecting on this meal that we had with the Savior. Mm-hmm. How close he was to us.
Right.
And then the uncertainty. Mm-hmm. What is Judas about to do? Mm-hmm. What has he got himself into? Mm-hmm. And then we get down a little farther. And Jesus starts to begin to feel sorrowful.
Yes.
As the burden of what he is approaching starts to weigh on him. And the disciples, they just say, now we all know how we do when we eat. Sometimes we sit down and guess what happens?
Oh, yeah.
We start to nod, get a little sleepy.
Yeah.
And that's what happened to them. They were human.
Yeah.
And they got sleepy.
Mm-hmm.
That burden wasn't resting on them. It was only resting on Jesus Christ.
Right. Right.
And Jesus told them, you need to watch.
Yeah.
There's trouble at the door.
Yes.
You need to watch. Mm-hmm. And old Peter, Peter was pretty compulsive, wasn't he?
Mm-hmm.
Go back to sleep.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if somebody tell you you need to watch twice.
That's right. Wake up.
You would think you're going to pay attention to that.
Mm-hmm.
But don't you know that God, through His Spirit, tells people, Christians, every day you need to watch?
Yeah.
And He tells them over and over again.
Yeah.
And they still go to sleep?
Yeah.
Troubles at hand.
Yes, it is.
How many people do you know that have walked with you, encouraged, following after the Lord? One thing or another happens, and where are they now? They wasn't careful.
That's right.
They did just like Peter and fell asleep.
Right.
At the most critical part.
Yes.
Then the soldiers come. Verse 47. Let's read verse 47 through 56.
While he yet spake,
Lo, Judas, one of the twelve,
came with a great multitude.
With sword and staves.
From the chief priests
and elders of the people. Now remember, you're standing there. Why do you need a whole army of people to come deal with Jesus? And I imagine Peter standing there started counting their number and counting his number. Well, let's see, what is it? 4 to 1? I think I can take care of 4 of them. Do you see why Jesus told him to watch?
Yes.
He was still in that frame of mind of the flesh. We're going to battle right now.
Uh-huh.
And we're going to fight. But that's not what Jesus had in mind. Would you have been one that put your hand on your waist where the sword sat? Ready to draw it out and fight. Read on.
Now he that betrayed him
gave them a sign. Saying, whomsoever I shall kiss,
that same is he.
Hold him fast. As if Jesus would go run away.
Right.
This was the time now where Jesus voluntarily surrendered himself to them.
Forthwith he came to Jesus.
And said, Hail, Master.
And kissed him.
The scripture says they honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me.
Yes.
And that's the state Judas was in.
Yes.
How many Christians today honor the Lord with their lips, but their heart is far from Him?
Right.
Oh, Lord.
Have mercy, Lord.
Verse 50.
And Jesus said unto him, Friend, wherefore art thou come?
Friend?
Right.
Wherefore art thou come?
And they came,
laid hands on Jesus, and took him.
And behold,
one of them that were with Jesus
stretched out his hand, drew his sword,
here we go,
and struck a servant on the high priest and smote off his ear.
Can you imagine if Jesus so chose, he could have said, this is why I told you to watch.
Yes.
Because you want to use the arm of flesh to solve a problem that's way bigger than you.
Lord, help us. Help us, Lord.
Took the man's ear off. What did Jesus say to him?
Jesus said unto him, Put up again thy sword
into its place.
For all they that take the sword shall perish with the sword.
Do we live in a society where people live by the sword?
Yes.
And what do we find? Many of them leave here by the sword.
Yes. That's true.
That's not what Christianity is about.
No.
The sword will get you in trouble. If that's where your trust is. And we live in a society, particularly our country, where this is an epidemic.
Yeah.
How many guns do people have? and they're ready to use them.
Yeah, help us.
Where is their trust? Let's make a law that takes guns away from everybody. Do you think that's going to hinder people from doing evil? The issue is not with the sword. The issue is in the heart of man.
Yeah, that's right.
And that's what Jesus came to fix.
Yes.
Verse 53.
Thinkest thou that I cannot pray to my Father,
and he shall presently give me more than 12 legions of angels? When you recall the account over in the Old Testament, one angel took out 185,000. How many do you think 12 legions will take out? If Jesus wanted to, he could have brought it all down right there.
But thank the Lord he didn't.
But he had a different purpose.
Yes.
I want to change the way man thinks.
Amen.
I want to give him something inside.
Yes.
Yes. Yeah. Lord bless.
Verse 54.
But how then shall the scriptures
Shall the scriptures be fulfilled?
Right.
And it must be.
Yes.
I have to lay my life down. In order to accomplish the will and the purpose of God. Verse 55.
In that same hour.
The
multitudes. Are ye come out against as a thief?
Said Jesus to the multitudes. Are you come out as against a thief with swords?
And stays for to take me.
And stays for. Where is your frame of mind?
Right.
What is your thought process? At any point in time, did you see me breaking in, killing and stealing?
Right.
All I did was give life to everybody that came to see me.
Amen.
Yeah.
I healed. I delivered.
Right.
And you come with me with swords. Where's your mind? I'm not your enemy.
Right.
I sat daily
with you, teaching in the temple.
And you laid no hold on me.
Do you know why they did that? Because that's how they practice things.
Uh-huh.
Don't you know that if they had a problem they had to deal with, they had resources.
Mm-hmm.
Go take care of so-and-so. Mm-hmm. He's hindering what we're trying to do.
Yeah.
That's not the way Jesus saw.
Praise the Lord.
I'm there, right there in the temple. We're discussing the Word of God.
Yes.
And you come to me at this time with sword and stake.
Hmm.
Verse 56.
But all this was done.
That
the scriptures,
of the prophet might be fulfilled.
Mm-hmm.
There it is. You've got Isaiah.
Right.
It's telling you exactly what's happening.
Right.
And the picture is starting to form for you as you are standing there observing. And what happened?
Then all the disciples and fled.
Forsook him and fled.
Yes.
Lord have mercy.
Look at this emotional swing.
Yes.
Here it is. We thinking that Jesus Christ is going to be the next king of Israel.
Mm-hmm.
And now we all right.
Lord.
That went from up here, now they in the dust.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus let himself be taken.
Mm-hmm.
That's not what I had in my mind.
Right.
That's not what I pictured.
Yes.
I pictured him taking the throne and
correcting
all the wrongs.
Yeah.
And he just let him take him.
Yeah.
And instead they forsook him. Now, how do you think in those times when things go wrong for you?
Go ahead.
What goes through your mind? How does the enemy work in there to bring despair? And the hope goes out the window. I imagine they stop walking the streets. I imagine that they had a place to go where they hid out.
Yeah, yeah.
And Peter, with all of his courage and enthusiasm, where was he following? Far off.
Yeah.
And Jesus said, I already told you. In verse 31.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That the shepherd would be smitten, and the sheep of the flock would scatter abroad. So where were you as you went through that in your mind? Where did you run to? It said all forsook him. All of the people, I'm sure there was more than just the disciples that believed in what Jesus was doing. And it said all forsook him. So when we're in that situation, how far did we run? Were we like Peter? Peeking around the corners, making sure there was a safe distance, making sure I have an escape route in case they identify me with him.
Yeah.
Do you see what they were going through? And we know how things went. Jesus beaten, crown of thorns put on his head,
yes,
being mocked,
yes,
made fun of.
Mm-hmm.
I imagine the high priest in that temple, we finally got it.
Right.
We finally got it.
Mm-hmm.
He won't be a problem anymore.
Uh-huh. Oh, Lord.
And imagine, what happened? I imagine a couple of them got together. What happened? I thought Jesus was the king. I thought he was going to set up something here.
Yeah. Oh, Lord.
And then Jesus goes to the cross.
Oh, yes, Lord.
The finality of death.
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah.
The only people that have been risen from the dead was the ones that Jesus brought back. Now here he is, he's on the cross.
That's right.
Right.
They put nails in his feet and his hands.
Mm-hmm.
He's bleeding out.
Yes.
What do we do? Turn over to Luke, the 23rd chapter. Here it is, Jesus, up on the cross. Some of those that believe in him are near. They're observing this.
Right.
Do you know that the cross was the cruelest of deaths that the Romans had come up with? Your most sensitive points are in your hands and your feet. And they put nails through him. He's out in the sunlight.
Mm-hmm.
Bleeding out.
Yeah.
Bleeding from up here around his head where they mashed the thorns in place. And the people standing there observing. Look what happened to Jesus. How could they do that?
Yeah.
He went. There was people that couldn't walk and he healed them.
Sure.
People that couldn't see and he healed them.
Right.
People possessed by the enemy and they were delivered.
Yes.
How could they do that to Jesus? Did he deserve such a cruel death? Luke 23, verse 35.
And the people stood beholding.
And the rulers also with them.
Deriding him.
Saying.
He saved others.
Let him save himself. If he be the Christ.
The chosen of God.
Do you see how Satan mocked him?
Yes.
This is the very nature of Satan.
Yes, it is.
It's to try to kill and destroy. And he's speaking through these people.
Mm-hmm.
He's the Son of God. Save himself. Could Jesus have done it? Yes, he could.
Yeah.
Yes, right.
He could have taken himself right off that tree and closed up all his wounds.
That's right.
But that wasn't God's will.
Right.
Verse 39.
One of the malefactors
which were hanged railed on.
Saying,
If thou be Christ,
save thyself and us.
Lord. Now oftentimes I think about these two thieves that were hung on either side of Jesus. Neither one of them, does the scripture say, had any prior contact with him. And here's this one, railed on him just like the people standing down.
That's right.
Why don't you save all of us? And then something happened. Verse 44 through 46.
And it was about the sixth hour. And there was a darkness over
now,
all the earth.
The sixth hour is between 9 a.m. and 12 p.m.
Mm-hmm.
And there was darkness
over all the earth
until the ninth hour.
Mm-hmm.
3 hours of darkness.
Yes. Oh, yes.
Now that in itself would have caused me to start thinking.
Right.
What's wrong? Something ain't right.
That's right.
There's something more to this man that's hanging on the cross.
Amen.
That the light would go away.
Right. Mm-hmm.
That's right.
Verse 45.
And the sun was darkened. And the veil of the temple rent
in the midst.
And when Jesus had cried with a loud voice,
he said, Father,
into thy hands I commend my spirit. And having said thus,
he gave up the ghost. The light of the world went out.
Right.
At that moment.
Yes.
And the temple was rent just like the prophet Isaiah said. So as you are there observing this scene, looking up at the sky and seeing it all dark.
Right.
Hearing the sound of the rumbling as the temple rent.
Mm-hmm.
Does it spark something? This was no ordinary man.
Amen.
This was the life giver as he laid his life down.
Yes.
Now, they had 3 days to think about this. So as you are sitting wherever you are in that particular scene, what are you thinking about? Are you thinking about our hope is lost? The one we have put our faith and confidence in just died. And it was so impactful that the light went away. There was an earthquake that shook the ground. Are you thinking about the disciples as they spend 3 days without Christ?
Mm-hmm.
hide it out. What's next? What are we going to do now? We follow him for this period of time.
Right.
What do we do next? You know, we read the account of Peter said, I'm going fishing. I'm going to go back to what I used to do.
Right.
I'm going to go back to catching fish. Three days of thinking about it.
Right, right.
It's different when you have the benefit of being able to read it from right. beginning to end.
Right.
But put yourself in their shoes.
Right.
The future was uncertain.
Yeah.
Are we going to be next? Mm-hmm. Are they going to flood us all out and take us and put us to death?
Right.
Do you understand? There was no coming back from death. Life was over. The finality of it. We look at our world today, how easily people can take life.
Yeah.
And you know, if those people aren't ready, there's no hope for them. Life was precious.
Yeah.
It was so precious that the sun was blotted out when Jesus died. Picture this over a weekend. What do people do over the weekend? Mm-hmm. People spend the whole weekday on productive things. Mm-hmm. Focus in on their careers, whatever else they do. And they get to the weekend. What happens on the weekend? Mm-hmm. Many people cure their sorrows with drink. Mm-hmm. Veg. Don't do nothing. Probably kept up on sleep. I guess the good thing is they don't have to look forward to driving in the traffic. What do people do? Go, let's go someplace and have fun. But I imagine there were some of these individuals that took the time to search. What did Isaiah say was going to happen next?
Yes, all right.
He said it. He was going to rise in 3 days. Uh-huh. Now it's been 3 days. Mm-hmm. Let's see what's going to happen today. Mm-hmm. Maybe some of them talked about, well, whatever happens today, if he don't rise, then we'll go move on and do something else.
Yeah.
Oh, but today, that day was a special day, wasn't it? Luke. Well, let's get Matthew 28, 1 through 8.
The end of the Sabbath.
Toward the first day of the week,
came Mary Magdalene,
the other Mary, to see the sepulchre.
And behold,
there was a great earthquake.
For the angel of the Lord
descended from heaven,
and rolled back the stone from the door,
and sat on it.
Praise the Lord.
His countenance was like lightning.
His raiment white as snow. And for fear of him,
the keepers did shake.
And became a dead man.
And the angel answered.
Said unto the women. Fear not ye.
For I know that ye seek Jesus.
Which was crucified. He is not here.
He's not there.
Praise God.
For he is risen. As he said.
Come and see where the Lord lay.
Amen.
And then he gave him some other instructions.
And go quickly.
Right. Now I want you to go quickly.
Yeah,
and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead.
And behold,
he goeth before you
into Galilee.
There shall you see him.
Lo, I have told you.
All right.
And they departed quickly.
Not just any other Sunday. But this Sunday, Jesus came forth. And the new plan was put in place.
Yes, thank
and can you imagine the emotions starting to sway back the other way?
Yes.
I've got a glimmer of hope. Yes. There was another earthquake. Yes. Maybe the prophecy is true. Yes. Luke 24, verses 2 through 7.
They found the stone rolled away.
From the sepulchre.
And they entered in. And found not the body of the Lord Jesus. And it came to pass.
As they were much perplexed thereabout.
Behold, two men stood by them.
In shining garments.
Amen.
And as they were afraid, bowed down their faces to the earth. They said unto them.
Why seek ye the living among the dead?
He is not here.
But is risen.
Remember how he spoke unto you.
When he was yet in Galilee.
Saying the Son of Man must be delivered.
Into the hands of sinful men.
And be crucified.
And the third day.
Rise again.
Amen.
And they remembered his words.
Now, those are two different accounts. Mm-hmm. And there are skeptics in this world that take issue that two people told it a different way. Let me ask you this. The last time somebody gave you some information about a sighting event, did everybody tell it the same?
No.
So why do you want to take
issue
with that the disciples in their excitement told it different? Yeah. The fact of the matter is, it happened.
Yeah, praise God.
Praise God.
And that should be enough for people to get a hold to.
Let's go.
Amen.
Yeah. Lord bless.
Verses 10 and 11
of the same chapter
of Luke 24.
It was Mary Magdalene.
And Joanna.
And Mary the mother of Jesus.
And James.
And other women that were there with them.
Which told these things unto the apostles.
And their words seemed to them as idle tales.
Now I have a hard time with this verse. And their words seemed to them as idle tales.
And they believed them not.
Were you so down in the dumps that you couldn't believe what you heard?
Mm-hmm.
Idle tales.
Right.
You know, sometimes we deal with people and we say things to them about God and it's like idle tales.
Yes.
But the problem is, they don't know God.
That's right.
They have no experience in his workings.
Right.
Amen.
These women did exactly what the angel told them
that's
to do.
Right.
Go tell him he's alive.
Right, that's right.
The new plan is in place.
That's right.
And it's a lot bigger than what you thought.
That's right.
Then arose Peter. And ran unto the sepulchre.
Peter getting excited.
Yes.
I imagine that's the fastest he ever ran.
Right.
And stooping down.
He beheld the linen cloth laid by himself.
And departed.
Wondering in himself.
At that which was come to pass.
You ever have one of those moments where you may be worried about something?
Yes.
Something's weighing heavy on your mind. And then the excitement of a solution just presents itself. And so you got this emotion on this side, and your excitement is mixing all together. And you can't quite know what to do. Oh, there's a solution.
Yes.
But I remember what happened. That's the way he was. But he ran to see. I got to see it for myself. Oh, that Christians would see God for themselves.
Yes.
Get a hold of something from him.
Yes.
Yeah.
And you won't have to rely on other people.
That's right.
Let's turn to John, the 20th chapter. Another section that the Lord impressed upon our heart. John, the 20th chapter, starting at the 19th verse. Then the same day at evening,
being the first day of the week,
when the doors were shut,
where
the disciples were assembled
for fear
of the Jews,
came Jesus
and stood in the midst
and saith unto them,
Peace be unto you. Do you see Jesus' limitations in his physical body have been laid aside?
Yeah.
And he can go here and there,
yeah,
any way he wants.
That's right. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Verse 20.
And when he had
said,
he shewed unto them,
his hand,
his hand and his side.
Yes.
Then were the disciples glad
when they saw. You see what they wanted? They didn't want no imposters.
Okay.
Christian don't want an imposter.
All right.
We want the real Jesus.
Yes,
that's the only way we can be sure about our future is to have the real Jesus. And they inspect, oh, there's the side, there's the cut. Oh, there's the hole in his hand. This is Jesus. Read on.
Then said Jesus to them again.
Peace be unto you.
As my Father has sent me. Even so I send you. Yes.
Read on.
And when he had said this,
he breathed on them.
And saith unto them,
Receive ye the Holy Ghost.
Whosoever sins, ye remit. They are remitted.
Unto them,
and whosoever sins, ye retain them.
They are retained. Mm-hmm. Now, before I comment on this, read Luke 24 and 49.
Luke 24, 49.
Yes.
And behold, I send the promise of my Father.
Now, these are Jesus' words. Behold, I send the promise of my Father
upon you. But tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem
until ye be endued with power from on high. Now, there is great debate about when the Holy Ghost comes.
Uh-huh.
There are a lot of articles written about it. The problem is, Christians spend too much time nitpicking the Word of God. The reality of it is, if God sends the Holy Ghost, you don't know it.
Yes, that's right.
No matter what way He decides to send it, it's to empower you and I to live this life.
Holy life.
Yeah.
Yes, that's so.
Some people question, oh, maybe they got it twice. What it boils down to is either you got it or you don't.
Yeah.
It's an either or thing.
Yeah.
And everything else that you have a question about it may not be the Holy Ghost.
That's right.
Because the Holy Ghost is clear in His presentation to you and I that we don't know. There's no difference. We can identify it.
Yes.
And there's many Christians that have taken on various things in our world today. And what they need is the true Holy Ghost.
Right.
That's right.
It would melt down so many issues among God's people.
That's right.
Yeah.
But he told them to wait for it.
Yep.
Yes.
Tarry for it.
Yes.
Oh, Christian, if you don't have the Holy Ghost, tarry for it.
Yes.
Because it's vital to your spiritual success.
Yes.
Yeah. Amen.
Then I thought about Cleopas.
Uh-huh.
Luke 24th chapter. Yes.
And the one of them,
whose
name was Cleopas,
answering,
said unto him, art thou only a stranger in Jerusalem?
Hast
not known the things which are come to pass there in these days?
You haven't been reading the newspaper? You haven't been watching the news?
Right.
To see what's going on right now? Where you been? Have you been hiding out under a rock somewhere that you don't know what's happening?
And he said unto them,
What things?
And they said unto him.
Concerning Jesus of Nazareth.
Which was a prophet. Mighty indeed in word and all before God and all people. And how the chief priests and our rulers delivered him to be condemned to death. And have crucified him. But we trusted that it had been he which should have redeemed Israel. And besides all this,
today is the third day since these things were done. Right.
Yea, and certain women also
of our company made
us astonished.
Which were early at the sepulchre.
And when they found not his body.
They came saying that they had also seen a vision of angels.
Said that he was alive. And certain of them which were with us went to the sepulchre. And found it was even so as the woman had said. But him they saw not.
But they didn't see him.
Then he said unto them,
O fools,
and slow of heart
to believe all that the prophets have spoken.
Ought not Christ to have suffered these things
and to enter into his glory?
And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them
in all the scriptures the things concerning himself.
And they drew nigh unto the village. Whither they went. And he made as though he would have gone further. But they constrained him.
Abide with us.
For it is toward evening. The day is far spent. And he went to tarry with him. And it came to pass. As he sat at meat with them.
He took the bread.
And blessed it. And broke.
And gave it to them.
And their eyes were open.
And they knew it.
And he vanished out of his thought.
Just like that. Let me bring it from.
Bring it on.
Yeah.
Bring it on to you. Then let me bless your food.
All right. Go ahead.
And they said one to another.
Did not our hearts burn within them?
While he talked with us. Yes. By the way.
While he opened up the scriptures to us.
Yes.
Think about that verse.
Yes.
Because now we're going to get to this Galatians. The visitation of the Lord.
Yes.
Is unmistakable.
That's so.
It brings a longing within
yes.
you.
Yes.
Would you tarry with me?
Yes.
As we begin to open our eyes to truly see things as they are.
Yes, Lord.
To see really how the world looks.
Yes.
To see the will of God.
Yes.
And to see what God has in mind
yes.
for us. Your heart will burn within you. When he visits you.
That's right.
Yeah.
If you haven't had a visitation like that in a while, seek for it.
That's right.
Because it'll strengthen you. It'll settle you in this day that we live. And all this foolishness that's going on in this world with the doctrines of God, you'll be able to see your way through it. As people leave the scene and you are left here, and there's other people around, those that maybe you thought about that minister to you, you won't be lost.
Right, right.
Because you got Jesus for yourself.
Amen.
Yes.
Where does he live? He lives in me.
Yes, thank the Lord.
Now let's read Galatians, the second chapter, and the 20th verse.
I am crucified with Christ.
Nevertheless I live. Yet not I. But Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live. In the flesh. I live by the faith. Of the Son of God.
Who loved me.
And gave himself for me.
Amen. He didn't leave anybody out.
That's right.
Amen.
Now, some Christians think they can tailor-make their own salvation. But do you know who said these words? This was the Apostle Paul talking. And he was speaking to the Galatians about them reverting back to their old habits. Now, we are familiar with the Apostle Paul. He didn't start out a Christian.
Amen.
He was an educated man. Educated in probably every way that was possible back in that day and time. And Jesus visited him. On the road to Damascus, he was struck down. And he said, "Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? It is hard for you to kick against the pricks." Now let's talk about the pricks. When God is working with the soul, he's going to be pricking that soul to get them to the place that he wants them to be. And if he can get the Apostle Paul from there to where he was, he can surely do it with everyone else. So why do Christians shortcut the work of God in their life?
Lord help us.
God wants to work something special in you and I. He wants to live through us. He wants us to be crucified. That means I'm going to lay down myself and give preference to Jesus Christ. And the person that does that is able to walk in the ways that God show up. He said, "I'll write the words in the inward parts." There won't be no confusion on how you should live. And this was the whole reason. God's plan was much bigger than what the disciples had thought about. I want to have the Christ to be able to inhabit each and every person that believes in me. And I want to make significant changes in them.
Thank the Lord.
I want them to take on the graces that I have available for them. I want them to be able to possess the power that I have for them. Then why do Christians pull back? I know they feel the pricks of God each and every day. Because the Holy Ghost is faithful to deal with each one of us in our own lives. Many Christians can walk perfectly on Sunday, but what happens the rest of the week?
Lord, help them.
The power is great enough for you and I to walk upright every day.
Yes.
And this is the purpose, the reason for Easter. That Jesus can live in each and every one of us.
Thanks, Lord.
And we can exemplify his graces.
Yes.
Just like the Apostle Paul.
Yes.
Where we can say, you know what? I am crucified. Because I laid my life down.
Yes.
That Jesus might live in me.
Yes, amen.
We'll leave you with verses of a song.
Amen.
Brother Phillips found it to be so.
Yeah.
And how could he express it other than to put pen to paper and write? That you and I could have his testimony just like we have the Apostle Paul's testimony. I am crucified with Christ.
Yes.
And he lives in me.
Yes.
To this world, I'm crucified.
That's it.
All its follies I deny.
Right.
It's very difficult
yeah.
for a Christian to try to live both lives.
Mm-hmm.
One or the other is going to impose its influence over you and I.
Yeah,
the only difference is God ain't going to make you. But the world sure will.
Yeah.
They'll put a law in place to make you.
Right.
To this world I'm crucified. All its follies I denied. Christ is mine evermore to be.
That's it.
In my heart he has a place. There he reigns by wondrous grace.
Yes,
have you reserved a place for Jesus
mm-hmm.
in your heart?
Yes.
Christ is now my all in all. And he hears me when I call.
Yes, he does.
And by faith, his dear face I see. I will live for him each day. He will guide me in the way. You do not have to have a question in your mind whether God's going to lead you down the right path.
Right. Oh, thank you, Lord.
He is faithful to lead us in the direction that he wants us to go. Even though sometimes the enemy comes in and try to cloud it up.
Right.
Yeah.
There's a true way that he's going to lead you out.
Yeah.
Yeah. With his blood, he purchased me. When he died upon the tree, that my body his temple be. There his spirit doth abide, and my soul is satisfied.
Yes.
Who's always looking for something? People that are not satisfied.
That's right.
Well, this ain't quite working. Let me see what else. If you just get a taste of Jesus dwelling within
That's
and his spirit living there.
Amen.
Nothing else can compare.
That's right.
He said, he lives. Yes, he lives in me.
Yes.
Jesus lives in me.
Yes.
He's the star. You want a perfect day? Let Jesus live in there.
Right.
He'll give you a perfect day. And he'll drive the darkness all the way. You know, this is what God desires of his people, to get to this place. There's no confusion at this stage. There's no doubt. The path is clear. And that burning of his spirit is in there.
Yes.
You don't have to be lonely.
That's right.
You don't have to need someone to coach you along. Oh, would you just please move forward? Would you just follow through and let God change this and that.
Uh-huh.
You gotta want to change.
Yes. Yeah.
You gotta love God so much. Lord, whatever you want to change.
Yeah.
Because I value so much Jesus living in me.
Yeah.
I value so much the communication of his spirit.
Yeah.
And that is the Easter message.
Amen.
Jesus said, blessed are those that have not seen but have heard.
Yes.
That's you and I.
Yes.
We wasn't there.
Yes.
We didn't see everything he did.
Mm-hmm.
But we read it in the scriptures and we believe it.
Yes.
And we endeavor to measure to everything he did.
Yes. Yes.
I desire your prayers.
Thank you.
Pray that the Lord would encourage and bless each one of you.
Yes.
That this be your testimony.
Yes.
That Jesus lives in me.
Yes.